Merry Christmas Eve. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Merry Christmas Eve. Very good. Thank you. Now I know you're all. It is going to be a festive Christmas Eve this morning. Buckle your seat belts. We have the children's Christmas pageant, and this is the way we always get parents to come to church. Because they're terrified of what their particular little darling might do in the midst of the Christmas pageant. And I promise you, we will not disappoint. So, we have announcements today. And for those of you who are concerned about putting a pageant in the middle of the worship service, please be at peace. I have remarkable editorial abilities when it comes to the sermon. So if you have a roast in the oven, or you are baking biscuits, as the angel said, fear not. All right, well, let's see. We are having our Christmas Eve candlelight service, which again is going to be for the children, but we invite children of all ages to come, and it's going to be at 5 p.m. The paper said 5:30. But we're going to get started at 5 p.m. so that the little ones can get home and tucked in their beds and that visions of sugar plums may process therein. So another announcement, the church office will be closed tomorrow, Monday, in honor of Christmas, obviously. Well, no, yeah, Monday's tomorrow. Okay, good. It's been a long week. We are going to be closed through January the 1st. So if you need anything, if an emergency arises, please feel free to call me or email me. And you should have my phone number and my email address. If not, then please get it from me following worship. In New Year's beginnings in Christian education, we're going to resume all of our classes for children, youth, and adults. Watch the weekly newsletter for details. And so make this your New Year's resolution to come and get some education for your soul. It's always a good thing. Now, following the pageant this morning, the children are going to be taken to Fellowship Hall, where they will have their, I guess it's their cast party. By virtue of my vocation, I have never been invited to a cast party before, and this will be no exception. So we will let them go, and you may collect them there following worship. All right, I think that's everything, but Bob Hubbs has a special announcement he's trying to make.
Christmas time, the congregation would like to offer a gift to the members of the staff in appreciation for all the things you do now and throughout the year. To you, to Aaron, to Gene, Hejong, Alex, Mickey in the nursery, our singers, we all say thank you for the job you do throughout the year. Thank you.
As always, I thank you for your love and your generosity and your spirit of joy in this place, especially as we come into Christmas. Let's see, where are we now? Okay, the peace of Christ be with you all.
We light the peace candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. As the Lord has promised in days to come, the Lord will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child. She shall bear a son and name him Emmanuel. God is with us, the Prince of Peace. Let us pray. We live in fear, O Lord, and even angel voices do little to assuage it. The inconsistencies and ever-changing realities of our lives leave us anxious and afraid. Yet you still send your messengers with the eternal admonition. Fear not. Help us to hear those voices and cast our desperate distress upon your grace, knowing that your hands hold the peace we seek. Amen.
You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Excuse me. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First, in silence, let us pray. Praying first in silence. And together we pray. How quickly we give in to our fears, O God. How often we see only disaster and danger on the horizon. We are like frightened children who run away in terror when discomfort and doubt appear. Remind us, we pray, that yours are the everlasting arms. Your grace is made visible in the birth of the child of Bethlehem. Forgive us our inequities and inconsistencies, and bring us at last to the kingdom, which even now is dawning. Amen. The good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Please be seated. And now we'll have our time with the children, and I'll ask all of the cast and such as are not to come on up. Oh, boy. Yes, come on up, Lammy. Call you Chop for short. Well, are you ready? Everybody knows the drill. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah, 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 that kind of four of the choir just dropped over dead. Wow, that was good. You know, I am so glad y'all are up here today, because one of the best ways to remember a story is to act it out. To be part of the Christmas pageant is to help you learn again and remember more deeply the story of the birth of Jesus. You know, you can read things in a book, and you can see things and hear things at school, but learning is best done, at least for me, by doing. And so today you are going to do your own education about the birth of Jesus as we do this play together. And yes, I am still learning myself. I learn by doing best. And I am so happy that I can do this pageant with you. Okay? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of this day, the joy of this congregation, and the opportunity we have to learn more about you and your birth. And so help us, we pray, to play our parts and to support each other and to learn again the marvelous story of how you came to be among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, go take your stations. We ready? All set? Okay. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first one that was made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, each one to his own city. And Joseph went up also from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished when she should be delivered. And she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in swaddling and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Our And it came to pass, as the angels were gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lived. The little Lord Jesus was sleeping. Thank you.
all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the angels returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within up every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7. Listen for God's word. Excuse me. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet, Nathan, see now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent. Nathan said to the king, go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you should say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be the prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all of your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 6. Listen for God's word. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 38. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel disappeared from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we hear your word. And yet sometimes the words are so familiar that they run past us and we see them no more. Help us to pause and to consider and to open ourselves to the revelation which is you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, angels have a way of showing up. And they always say in Scripture, "Be not afraid." Now, when anybody tells me that, I have an immediate gut reaction, which is to run like a striped gazelle. It's like when I go to the doctor's office and they say, "Now, this won't hurt a bit." That means it's going to hurt. If they say, "This is going to be a little uncomfortable," it means it's going to hurt like you know where. And if they say, "You're going to experience significant discomfort," that means go on and call the undertaker. Euphemisms. They make us feel a little less afraid, and in so doing, they terrify us. "Be not afraid," the angel said to Mary. And those three words started the entire panoply of providence, which for us is always good news, but for Mary at that moment was terrifying. "Be not afraid, O one who is highly favored." Sometimes, you know, being highly favored of God is not a position to be in, because God sometimes calls his servants to do things they would not normally do. There was, I've forgotten the name of this saint, a very famous lady saint in France. And anyway, she was the head of a religious order. And she was riding with some of the sisters in a coach, and it was raining, and the river they had to cross was flooded. And as they got to the middle of the river, one of the wheels of the coach fell off and tumped, I mean, that's a wonderful word, tumped all of them into the cold, icy river. And they got to the other side of the river, and she said, "Lord, why do you treat us thus?" And God reportedly replied to her, "This is the way I treat all of my friends." And she replied to God and said, "That's why you have so few." Being called of God it's a high honor, but it's oftentimes a terrible disconvenience. And that's what happened to Mary. Lest we forget, it was not all light and love and running rivers and soaring birds and angel voices. There was the birth. The birth which, let's face it, those of you, I'm not included, those of you who have given birth know what she went through. And then there was Joseph. Joseph, who is always, you know, oh, she's kind of standing there off to the side, hands together, head down in prayer. And that's about as much activity as you see out of Joseph. I want you, when you have some free time, a week or so, to Google Annunciation pictures. Google that. There are thousands of them. And usually they picture Mary in kind of medieval attire, sitting at a prayer desk with a devotional book open in front of her and this marvelously dressed angel speaking to her. Well, it's kind of like the cover of our bulletin for this week. There she is. Everything is wonderfully glorious. The fact of the matter is, this woman who is pictured perhaps in her mid to late 20s, well, Mary was barely a teenager, according to our studies of sociology back then. That's when you got engaged. Betrothed, the word was. And then the engagement lasted a year. And then you got married. But you were treated as man and wife during this whole time. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the betrothal, what happened? The angel shows up. "Fear not." What's going to happen? Well, first of all, Mary's got to explain her newfound condition to Joseph. You remember Joseph? I bet there was a long, hard discussion, which was only brought to a conclusion when an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. And then there were the people of the town, the good, righteous people, you know them. And all of a sudden, Mary is pregnant in the midst of her betrothal, and everybody looks at Joseph and says, "That wasn't supposed to happen, not for another 6 months." And then Joseph has to explain to them, I had a dream that explained the whole thing. Fear not. Haters are going to hate. Gossips are going to gossip. And bless their hearts, Mary and Joseph endured it all. And it's no wonder Mary had probably had enough of it and went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, leaving Joseph to mind the store, the carpenter shop. There he was. We don't really hear much of Joseph throughout Scripture. And all of us guys, well, we kind of know why. best place to be is in the background, helping things along. We work behind the scenes best, don't we? And we can channel Joseph and we can kind of avoid a lot of anguish if we just keep a low profile as Joseph did. And so here we go. She goes to Elizabeth, who is well past childbearing age. And she goes, and I just can't imagine what that first discussion was. Elizabeth, I'm coming to visit with you. Guess what? I'm with child. And Elizabeth, from her doorstep, replies, me too. I bet they had some great discussions. With Elizabeth, everybody was happy and amazed. With Mary, they were all kind of embarrassed and ashamed. And the two of them sat there, and that baby leapt within Elizabeth's womb as soon as Mary shouted her greeting. Be not afraid. You know, I'm going to end this sermon, much to your relief, with the acknowledgement that angels still come to us. Maybe not with wings and soaring voices, but sometimes even when the worst things happen in our lives, when life seems about ready to come to an end, or you're ashamed about something, or you're afraid of something, angels tend to show up right then. And suddenly, there's a path through the grief. There's a path through the discomfort. There's a path through the shame, the guilt. All of a sudden, there is a path we weren't aware of, but there it is. That's angels at work in our lives. Christmas comes 365 days out of the year. We celebrate it only once a year. But you know, it is the one holiday for which we put a lot of anticipation because it symbolizes all the best in us. But it also symbolizes the recognition that angels still come. Grace is still granted. Possibilities are still posted in our lives that we may not have ever considered. And so I want to tell you today, no matter what's going on, some of you are just beyond relieved that the pageant is over now. And that's one less disaster for Christmas. But the angels still come. What we need to do is listen for them, watch for them, wait for them. Let me explain this to you. Angels are always gentlemen and gentle ladies. They never call attention to themselves. They never force themselves upon you. Like small birds outside your window, they are there, bringing hope and the possibility of the coming of the spring of God's grace. Don't be afraid. Be aware. Let us pray. And so with grateful hearts, O Lord, we listen once again for angels. And even though you tell us not to be afraid, we are yet because we so desperately want to be in control. Help us to listen instead for angel voices and graceful possibilities, knowing that when we are not in control, that is when you have taken the reins. And help us. Help us, O Lord, to yield the horses to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And together let us declare that which we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again to glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Let us pray. The world is increasingly dangerous, O Lord. And despite your promises, we can't help but be afraid. When the Holy Land is enshrouded in darkness and death, we are afraid. And so, even now, come, Lord Jesus. When the political season is beginning with distress, when people are fearful of what may be or what already is, even now, come, Lord Jesus. We know, O Lord, that all of history is in your hands and that you are the Lord of all that was and is and ever shall be. Yet we are afraid, for we feel out of control even now. Oh, Lord Jesus, grant your presence, we pray. Still our fears and encourage our spirits. May we go into days that are sometimes dark and be the light of the kingdom. May we bear the good news. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we are bold to pray together the prayer which he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. Thank you. Eternal God, you give us all that we need to live life faithfully, joyfully, and responsibly. Grant that these gifts which we have received may be multiplied by your grace to expand your kingdom, and strengthen, we pray, our hearts in the giving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, go forth from this place in peace, but also go forth from this place in joy, knowing that angels are still flying around us, knowing that they are watching over us and preparing for us a new Christmas every single day. And so rejoice, even in the midst of the discomforts of life, the disconveniences of doing. Go forth and find joy wherever you are, because there's a host of angels hovering around you saying simply, fear not. In the name of God the Father who created us, God the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. Amen.